am Shisada Akona Kamada, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine. Good evening and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. I am Shisada Akona Kamada. It's my great privilege and honor to be with you tonight. I am joined, as always, by Pyela Yen. Let's go ahead and we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to get centered. I'll do a clearing, and then I'm going to ask you to stay in that space. We'll do a little short guided meditation tonight. Go ahead and take a nice deep breath. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the Great Central Sun Hierarchy, through the Office of the Christ, through the Order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, Keeper of the Violet Flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And now I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one shaft to surround each of us. And I ask that these tubes of light be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. Pyela Yen and I place ourselves in service to all of those listening tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions, and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Now I'm going to ask each of you to bring your attention to your heart center. Bring your awareness there. I want you to go into your memory banks, and I want you to find an experience. Some people have a hard time just finding a feeling. So if you're one of those people, let's find an experience where you felt the emotion of love, praise, or gratitude. I want you to find that space in your heart, and you'll know when you're there because you'll feel an expansion in your heart. Sometimes it'll feel like pressure, like your heart is pushing out of your against your chest walls. So let's sit in that space and let's really find it. I want you to just focus your attention right there in your heart and keep pushing it out. Excellent. Keep pushing it out. You're doing good. If you lose it, it's okay. Just go back. Find it again. Now I'm going to ask you to move your awareness from your heart up into the center of your head. If you look at kind of the bridge of your nose, I want you to go straight back into your head about 2 inches. I want you to create in your mind's eye a picture of a little tiny golden Buddha sitting in the center of your head. And I want you to just focus all of your attention on that little Buddha. If you find that your mind strays and you pull away, that's fine. Just bring it back. I'm going to hold that. Excellent. Hold the attention in your head. Focus on the Buddha. Bring your attention simultaneously back to your heart. I want you to combine the two. We're going to move our attention into our solar plexus. Just go right below your heart. Right there, I want you to see a golden sun, brilliant, emanating from just under your heart in your solar plexus. I want you to focus all of your attention on that sun, and I want you to see it grow and expand in all directions. I want you to keep that love that you had in your heart, that space of gratitude, of praise, of love. Hold that, focus on the sun. I want you to expand it out as much as you can. And just hold it, watch it expand. Don't be concerned about any physical feeling you may have going on. Just keep watching that golden sun expand and expand. It's getting so bright, you have no sense of there being a person in there. Bright white light emanating from the core of you, pushing out endlessly like rays of sun. All right, bring your attention back to me. Take a nice deep breath or two. Kind of reground yourself. Pyalyan, I'm going to ask you to tell the listeners what you experienced.
Okay, so in the beginning... I experienced something very new. When you first started to do the protection, mind started to go off somewhere, and all of a sudden I heard, "Pay attention, you have work to do," and time actually rewinded, like it went backwards, and it was like I was back at the beginning of the protection, all over again, and For me, it was as if I was doing facilitation work, like when we have our big meditations. And it was just kind of helping to hold everything together so that everyone could be in the space that they needed to be, that they could do this meditation. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very cool. It was also harder than when we do it physically in a group, I guess, because it's more remote, you know. Mm. But it was like this dome was around everyone, just keeping everyone's energy like in there. Mm. It was very cool. Very cool.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So much of what we can focus on that is so incredibly helpful are these attitudes of love, praise, and gratitude. And for some people, they have a hard time finding love or praise, you know, find one that is a real good fit for you and find the energy of it and work, you know, as much as you can on cultivating the expansion of that energy. It is a beautiful process to go through. Again, focusing on the Buddha, there are different, you can, you know, in the process of doing your work and moving through your stages of evolution, you learn to train your awareness to move to very specific places and to hold focus. And that's a very beautiful thing, especially if you're new to meditation. You know, that is kind of one of the key things that gets learned along the way, is how to hold a point of focus. And there are certain techniques that are used. For some people, mantras are really, really helpful, just because having verbalization kind of almost forces your mind to focus on what it is that's coming out of your mouth. And, you know, you could chant anything, really, if it means something to you, and if you can place yourself and your heart in that space. One of the most powerful mantras that I have ever used is just to chant Hue. And it's a beautiful, you know, and when I say chant it, it's not chanting so much as like kind of almost singing the word out for the length of a breath, you know, and then just taking that next breath and chanting it out again. And it really does bring everything very center, and you'll find yourself in a very quiet space, and the mind just kind of quiets down. It's a very beautiful, beautiful word to use. I don't know why I got on that tonight. But anyway, that was a lovely little meditation. I had no idea before about 15 minutes ago that we were going to do it. And I hope that all of you enjoyed it. I would love to hear your feedback on it. You know, as these things come to me, I'm doing that, and I'm trusting that there's a reason that I'm being asked to have everybody move to a certain point of focus for the evening. So your feedback would be greatly appreciated. And you can always do that on our BBS page. Or you can comment on the Facebook page too. Yeah. Okay, so tonight, what did we want to start with?
Well, we actually wanted to go back to a question we had from last week.
Okay.
And we were talking about change. And if you decide something needs to be changed, the question was, well, when you decide to change a negative about yourself, why is it not good?
Okay. I'm glad that the question was asked, because, and this is why your feedback is so important to me, as I am here speaking my understandings to you, I can't possibly know with all the people who are tuning in where everyone is at. And it's not like you're sitting in front of me and I can read your individual energy and I can hone in on you. And so I'm speaking to a broad audience. Therefore, I don't know if I can sit here and look at Pielian and say, is that clear? And she'll say yes. But again, she is a very advanced, quote-unquote, student and has moved through all these stages. So to her, it will be clear. So it's so important that we get this feedback. And I'm really grateful that this person did contact us and ask the question, because it means that it wasn't perfectly clear to people. And I need to go back and hit it again. So thank you for that. What I was speaking of is specific to the fact that as you evolve on your spiritual journey, remember, you are a multidimensional being. So it's not as if in this course of evolution here, in the physical, that you stop being a physical being and that allows you to move into the next state of awareness. It's a cumulative thing. So you will continue to function in the world, but your level of awareness increases. And so you start to be able to see things not only from a physical, psychological perspective, but from deeper understandings that come along with the work that you're doing, the inner work that you're doing. And they will transcend what is necessarily accurate and factual in this reality. All right. Remember, it's very paradoxical because most of the understandings that you move into, you will recognize are incredibly true. But if you look at them from a very personal place within this dimensional reality, they don't seem true at all. And that's the paradox that we're constantly up against and constantly seeing. But one does not negate the other. What is true here is true here. What is true there is true there. And it doesn't mean if it's true there that it shouldn't be true anywhere else or that it should be true somewhere else. It doesn't mean that at all. They just are different levels of reality. So when it comes to making change here, and I'm going to assume that she was asking more of like a personality change, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say, I think last week we had an example where you recognized, was it you were an angry person? Maybe, and then recognize you needed to change that. I can't remember what the example was that we
used. Yeah, I think it was something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. In this reality, from a very psychological place, to recognize that you are an angry person and to take steps, maybe to go to counseling, maybe to, you know, do more meditation, maybe to listen to programs like this, who knows, taking steps to become a quote-unquote better person, a kinder person, is not wrong. I am not saying that that's wrong. Not at all. It's a very beautiful thing. Okay? It's a very beautiful thing. The thing is that by believing that you are either cruel or kind, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're sitting on. They're both polarized. Because the fact of the matter is you're both. Okay? There's some place in your life and in your world where you have been cruel. Okay? There's some place in your world and your life where you have been kind. You have sat on both sides, and everybody has. It's just that what the mind wants to do is it wants to take a side, and it wants to say that this side is preferable to the other. I want to associate myself with this. So I'm going to identify with this side, okay? And as soon as you're sitting in the space of the identification with anything, now you're locked into a belief, and that belief will hold you here. So we're looking at it from multiple levels, and this is the part that, you know, people who work with me and do this kind of work, they get very used to having to, you know, they'll ask a question and I'll ask them, well, where are you viewing it from? Because they have to move into that space where they're capable of recognizing, oh, I'm viewing it from here. But if I pull back and I view it from here, it takes on all new meaning. And so that's my point about what the question is about. It is not wrong to take steps to better yourself here. Not at all. And for most people, if they didn't recognize that there was change that needed to be made, they certainly would not be in any place where they would be prepared to transcend polarity altogether. You see what I'm saying? And so it looks as though here the, you know, change has to happen. And there is truth to that. However, believing that change has to happen, whatever that change is, the belief that it has to happen is the is the thing that ultimately will hold you here. So we'll go back to the quote that I use all the time, all the time, all the time, and I drill it into people's heads, that we are not here to change anything. We are here to see through it. All right? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're a kind person or a cruel person, in the sense that you aren't either of them. Because what you are as God transcends any concept of kind or cruel. It exists completely outside of any dynamic where there are two sides to one coin, so to speak. There is no polarity in the nature of what you are. All right. And the funny thing is that when you see through that piece, when you give up the, you know, it's kind of like when you're in the space of it's all about making me better, making me better, making me better, you're a dog chasing its own tail. You're going around in circles and you're going around in circles because I promise you, no matter how good you seem to get, you're always going to disappoint yourself, right? You're always going to come back to that place where you're like, oh, I failed. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I can't do it right. I can't do anything. You will always come back to that spot, no matter how hard you try. But when the day comes, you're able to see that you've been both sides in all of their failures and all of their successes, that you can hold both, you can feel the emotion of both, you can own them both as you. That's a beautiful day, because in that day, now you're ready to step through it and to stand in the middle of it and say, I'm not either. I never was kind. I never was cruel. Now, a lot of you are your head's going to get a little twisted there. Well, of course I was. I helped the old lady cross the street. That was kind. I was kind. That wasn't you. That was the self with a capital S, right? If it was coming from the heart, if there wasn't a thought of, I need to help that lady, it's my job, it's my responsibility, and you had this whole story behind it, then that was the personal self. But if it was just a genuine act of kindness, there was no you involved in that. That was God. That was the Christ present right there and right then. And you does not exist in that. That's seeing through it. Okay? And sometimes the Christ presents itself as something that doesn't look like a kind, loving person. Sometimes right action requires it. And it is the most loving thing to do. And that can be the Christ too. But as long as we hold that one side is right and one side is wrong, we can never transcend the life-death cycle that exists here. It just won't happen. So PLN, do you feel like I've covered that well enough at this point?
Yes, I do.
Okie doke.
No, that was actually really beautiful. It was really good.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So that being said, was there anything else from last week that we needed to touch on? Was there anything we recovered? The cup is already broken last week, right? Okay. And we didn't have anybody who needed more.
Nope.
On that. Okay. Good.
Good on that.
Very good. Okay. And hopefully, I think I challenged all of you to really pay attention in this past week at where your sob stories come into play and where you have been holding yourself as the victim, and recognize that it's time to kind of wake up and step out of that association. So hopefully you've all been doing that. Again, please send us your feedback on how these things are going. You know, I do hear feedback from people, but I'd love to hear from a lot more of you just to see what you're discovering as these programs go along about yourselves. It's beautiful. And I will do my best to personally respond to you. If I can't, PLAN will, and you can absolutely trust what you would be receiving from her as well. All right. I have like these scattered little notes that make no sense that I'm supposed to cover tonight. We'll see how they all come together. One thing that I definitely wanted to touch on is the role that shame plays in the personalization of who we are. it's something I don't, I was saying to PLN earlier, it's something I don't normally talk about with my students, or when I hold physical satsang and I have, you know, a group of people in front of me. And the reason is because shame is one of those things that it is so painful to sit in the true space of shame that the mind is very, very sly about figuring out how to swing out of it and to cover it up. And so whenever that sense that someone is feeling ashamed of themselves comes in, they will scramble to find something to cover it up. It might be taking on an attitude of indifference. That's a really classic one, and men are very good at that. That, you know, I don't care, you know. And a man will be incredibly hurt and will come back with that. Doesn't matter, I don't care, right? And so whenever you hear indifference, just know that indifference is coming out of very deep pain. It's always coming out of very deep pain. So if you are a woman out there who has a man in your life who tends to get indifferent with you, I'm going to ask you today, starting now, to start viewing them differently. Because most likely when he acts indifferent toward you or toward something you have said, you take it personally and you get angry. All right? I want you to stop and place yourself in his shoes. He's in pain, and that's why he's responding the way he does. Men are very interesting in that they have been programmed in this world to repress their emotional states. And women are obviously generally not trained that way. You know, we're kind of trained that it's okay to cry when you're upset. And it's okay to, you know, be super happy when you're super happy and jump up and down. You know, you don't see a guy when he gets excited jump up and down very often, right? But you'll see a woman do it all the time. And men are just trained, you know, there's all this programming to what it is to be a man, right? Well, the funny thing, the way it works, is that a man, because he has been trained to repress his emotional side, is actually ruled by his emotional side. Okay, it rules him, and he won't be able to see it, but it absolutely is calling the shots. And men feel things very, very deeply. A woman isn't feeling them to the same extent because she's in touch with her emotional states. So she can see them come, you know, and she understands why. You know, if you ask a woman, what's the matter? How many women do you know who would say, I don't know? You know, if they're upset. How many would honestly say, I don't know? But if you look at men, how many men would say, I don't know? You know, they'll be in a bad mood and it'll be obvious. They might be slamming stuff around or being, you know, rude to people or whatever. And if you say, what's the matter? That a lot of them will just automatically say, I don't know. And they'll mean it. They won't really know what's wrong because they've been trained not to look that closely, right? And to just stifle whatever it is that's bothering them. And they have to really be encouraged to open up and talk, and they have to feel safe that when they do talk, they're not going to get blasted, because that's what so many women love to do, is blast their man. You know, if he says two words, she's right in his face, right? Okay. So indifference hides shame and very, very deep pain. And just about everything comes down to shame. So if we go back and look at, you remember me talking to you about the primal imprint and all the states of mind that came into being simultaneously, that there was this downward spiral. And I've told you before that that spiral literally ends in death. Well, right down there at the bottom is shame. And shame is like such a, I mean, if you just sit right now in this moment and allow your objective observer to come forward, and to just look at the emotion of frustration. Just look at frustration and feel the word frustration, right? You get a sense of it. You might feel your shoulders tense up a little bit. You might feel your neck get a little tight. You'll feel some constriction in your chest. Frustration. You might feel your hands clench up. Yeah. That's good. Now I'm going to ask you to move shame and feel the energy shift And a lot of you will experience this horrible sinking feeling in your solar plexus area, right in the center of you. It's a terrible feeling. So the collective holds, you know, remember, shame is just a word that's been attached to an energy form. And that energy form is enormous. It's just huge. And all of our concepts of everything that we should feel ashamed about, right, and that we do feel ashamed about, is all attached to this energy, this cloud of energy. And it's really powerful. And it's so powerful that when it comes, you feel it. And it's just this sinking, horrible feeling. And so it's no wonder that the mind from a preservation place likes to swing to something else. You know, give me a reason to get out of that. So it's incredibly valuable to begin to witness where you are functioning in a certain way because you feel shame. The reason I don't talk about it much is because shame is one of those things you really have to see and experience for yourself in order for you to truly lock into it. You can have someone say to you, you could sit and work with me one-on-one, and you could tell me a story, and I could say to you, well, do you understand why you did that? And you could say no, and I could say, well, it was because you were feeling such shame. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? I wasn't ashamed. And I'd be like, you absolutely were. And then I could walk through and tell you exactly what you said that points to the fact that you feel ashamed. And then you might say, oh, I see that. And mentally you would see it, but you wouldn't own it. And so I normally don't talk about it because you really have to get in the space where you are feeling it and you're open to feeling it, right? Remember, I told you before that when we start doing deep processing work, the point of it, you know, the processing work certainly is not the end all of your work. That's not the point at all. All right. But it is necessary for most people to be able to create an inroad into consciousness that allows the mind to relax enough so that the observer can really start to see, you know, can get strong. And the personal self will relax enough to allow the observer to really start poking around what's going on in there. And shame is just, it is such an all-pervasive thing that's sitting at the bottom of everyone's personal experience on the planet that it becomes very hard to find. But once you've found it, and once you've really sat in it, it's very hard to trick yourself after that, you know, because it's there. But you'll even witness times where it's going to pop up and it'll surprise you. And PLAN has a little story about that. So she'll share what she can. We have to be careful. Remember when we had all those talks about third-party communication? So whenever I do work like this with someone, it's really, really important that if you tell a story, that you aren't giving any information out that would identify a person. Because again, if she said she was going to tell a story and she said, yeah, it was, you know, my boss, blah, you know, there are people out there who might know who her boss is, and now they just got planted some information and it's going to sit there and have a memory and it'll be looking for a reason to judge the person and do all that crazy stuff. So I'll let her know she can use kind of, you know, it, as a joke. It used to be funny because at Satsang in Charlotte, we used to, people would be telling a story and then they'd refer to someone as like Voldemort. Right. It was always very funny. So Voldemort did this, you know. That way we can't track it back to anybody because it's not fair to that person. But you can share the experience, and that's the point. It doesn't matter who her experience was with. What is important is what she witnessed and the understanding that she came out of it with. So I'm going to turn it over to her, and I'll have her share with you something that she shared with me earlier.
Okay, which story? Because there's a whole lot of shame going on this week.
I'll let you choose what you feel is appropriate.
Let's see. There's a whole lot of it this week.
I love what you saw about how you were experiencing shame concerning another person.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because it's so hidden. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so So there's a certain book called Voldemort. Okay, so I actually realized that I always projected that people would view Voldemort in a certain way, but that I became protective about that, and I didn't want it to happen. Like, I didn't want people to treat Voldemort this way.
Why?
Well, because it's not fair, and you're prejudging him, and blah, blah, blah.
And they can't see what you see, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't see, like, the wonderful person. They're like, you're not giving him a chance. You don't right. see the wonderful person that he okay. is, that I see. Ha, ha, ha. I'm laughing because I realize that's not really what I saw.
this is beautiful, people.
What I realized that I saw was that I had already prejudged him. Mm-hmm. And that I had already seen him. That's how I saw him. That he, you know, for him to even be seen that way by anybody else, of course, I had already seen him that way. That was the way I saw him. But what it really comes down to, first of all, that in itself, being that, you know, you're supposed to love this person, see their true essence, all of that, and I realize I don't really see you that way, you know. I mean, I do, but at the same time, I don't, obviously. And then I also see that I actually see him that way because I don't want to be seen that way, because that's actually how I feel about myself. Mm-hmm. I feel the same exact way, and it's easy for me to project it onto him and then project it out there to everyone else, mm-hmm. to totally just take everything away from anyone looking at me. And it was just it, like that song that we played that time. Oh, the sailing, Wailing Jennies, what was yeah. it? And you had explained that she was saying in the song that, you know, I love you. Like, how could I possibly have done that? How could I feel that way? Like, I love you. Like, when I saw it, I just, it's like, how does that even exist? How is that there? Like, if you love someone that much, how do you even put that on them? So
where in there did you see your shame?
The fact that I even saw him that way. Because you say you love someone, you know?
So just to clarify for those listening, is it true that what you saw when you experienced this whole thing, obviously initially you witnessed, oh my gosh, that you had actually projected it out, and that the reason that you projected it out was because it was something that you were already experiencing in how you saw him, but you didn't want to see that in him because you want to love him, mm-hmm. right? And of course you do love him, but mm-hmm. at the same time, there's this piece, these components of the personality of him that you don't want to be associated with, mm-hmm. because you're ashamed by them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's incredibly powerful when we see, oh my gosh, like, I'm not even giving this person my own love. That's not love, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was saying to Pielian earlier tonight that how beautiful that she has an opportunity now that she saw this and saw it so clearly, because now of course she's going to feel ashamed that she even experienced that. See, it's this vicious little circle. We can swim in it forever, you know, because of course she will feel ashamed of herself that here she loves this person and she has judged him and in a way that just isn't fair to him. It may be true that he is a certain type of person. It may be true that other people will view him in a certain way, but that doesn't have to impact how she experiences him at all. Okay. If she's loving him from her heart, it wouldn't impact her at all. And other people could come to her and they could say, oh, what do you see in this person? You know, he's so this, he's so that. And she could be like, wow, like, I don't see that at all, you know. Or she can see it from a very objective place and be like, yeah, he is that. I love him, right? I love him. Because it's not the personality she's in love with. It's the essence of him that she's in love with, right? But the personality of her got involved with the personality of him, and there's a whole dynamic there. So what we have to be careful of is, you know, she is obviously, when she sees it, she's going to feel ashamed of herself, right? Because she should know better. How long have I been doing this work? And oh my gosh, like, I should know better than that. And, you know, two, oh my gosh, like, I thought I was a loving person. Here we go back to identifying with being kind, with being loving and all these things. And now we're going to feel ashamed of ourselves because we just proved to ourselves that we aren't that, you know. Well, bravo, because you saw it. And seeing it is the first step, right? And now she has an opportunity to allow it to be what it is. It's her, you know, it's her opportunity to see through the whole thing. So rather than sitting in a space where she's ashamed of it, and allow it to come, don't push it away, you know, allow yourself to feel bad. And sometimes even when we see something that is really powerful like that, we'll feel this incredible rush of energy inside of us that says, I have to make it right. Like, I have to make that right. And you'll know it when you experience that, because there is no mistaking it. Sometimes it's you know that you have to tell the person, right? Not from a space of this is why, this is whatever, but just from a pure apologetic, I saw this and I feel so terrible that I would have done that to you. And I love you, you know, and I just want you to know I love you. And sometimes that's enough to clear it. And you'll know if it's cleared because you'll feel it. It will feel like 10 pounds just dropped off of you. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just have to take some steps to do some really nice things for the person. Write them a little note or send them a flower or a card or, you know, something. But you'll do something that will clear it and you'll feel it because the energy will just clear immediately. And you will feel so much lighter and so much more buoyant and energetic. And that's when you know that karmic dynamic is gone. It just dropped away. All right. Now, the funny thing is, it's going to come back to test you, right? And that's something that the masters always do. They're going to test you to see, did you actually get the lesson? Now, remember that if you want to take it from a very kind of biological place, the synapses in the brain, that neural net, you know, those things are hardwired. They don't dissolve instantaneously. Taking the step where you actually see through something and feeling that shift in energy, transmuting everything, is a huge step in breaking those long-term connections. But it'll come back a few times to test, right? And then those tests, when you pass them and you don't attach to, so like the next time she's out with this person, maybe it'll get set up in such a way that something's going to happen and he's going to come forward with something that maybe in the past would have embarrassed her. That's the opportunity she's going to have, and it's going to show her if it actually stuck, right? If it didn't stick, that means there's more to that matrix than she saw. There's still something there that she has to get down in and really find and fish out. Because remember, you know, all of these things that we identify with are connected to other things that we identify with, and it's this huge, messy jumble. And you have to kind of get all of it. Or she may recognize that it doesn't even bother her in the least. And she may actually laugh about it. Like, oh my gosh, like I remember that. That used to bother me, you know. So the test will come a few times. And then at that point, when it really has broken and those connections in the brain are broken, the thought that would have presented itself before won't even show up in her consciousness. It just won't even be there. It's gone. And it's brilliant. It's just brilliant how it all comes together. So she's in a beautiful spot now to take her shame, you know, and allow herself to sit in it and then take right action based on what she sees. Yeah. clear the situation, and now she can move forward and drop it, and it's done, right? There's no point in going back and revisiting it and rehashing it over and over. When it's done, it's done. Because remember that it is only the mind that creates time. Remember, I've told you that the mind literally takes pictures of the past. It creates pictures of a projected future, and it uses that to create your sense of linear time. There is no linear time. So for her to have this experience and then, you know, a month later, bring it up to him again is literally just to make it present now. And there's no difference. And it was a month ago. No, it's right now because you're revisiting it now. So you are in it now. It is present now. And there's no point in doing that because when it's done, it's done. It never happened. Right. At that point, you've transmuted it. It's done. It's cleared. It never happened. Right. It never happened. So beautiful. Was there anything else around shame that you wanted to touch on?
Well, we're actually kind of getting more towards our time. No, like I said, this whole week, I mean, this is like everything is, I feel like everything is just coming out now. I've had my butt handed to me this week. Lots of lessons.
That's great. And I'm sure most of you out there are feeling the same way. You know, it is just the energies and it's time. It's all coming up on a collective level and no one will escape it. You know, those who have kind of done deeper work probably won't experience it as much as those who have not yet. And that's fine. But it's coming for everybody, you know, and everything is a test of, can we just see it as energy or are we going to identify with it and turn it into a story that, you know, is something else we need to identify with. So that brings me to one thing that I will speak of very briefly, but it's the symbology of the Buddha and the Bodhi tree. And those of you who are familiar with the story of the Buddha, just about everyone, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Buddhist or not, you have an understanding that in the story of the Buddha, you know, he sat himself down under that Bodhi tree and said, I'm not moving until, you know, I attain enlightenment, basically. And then in the story of all of this, you know, all of these demons came to him as he sat there in meditation. And so he had to go through the trials of all the things that were trying to lure him until he came out the other side. And what I want to present to you tonight was something that came into my awareness extremely strongly about a year ago. And what I witnessed was that, you know, the symbology of that was so accurate because literally every single one of us is living the experience of the Buddha under the Bodhi tree every day. And the demons that we, you know, hear of in the story, the demons are the world. And so remember that it's your own consciousness that is projecting its own story onto what is, you know, what is actually happening here. And the demons of the world are constantly clawing at you to try to get you to believe things that aren't true all the time, all the time, all the time, right? Such as the man who does say to his wife, I don't care, do whatever you want. And the wife gets upset because she's convinced that he's just dismissing her because he doesn't care about her. It's not true. It's not true. And it's a story you're telling yourself to make yourself feel better about the pain you're sitting in. And it makes you feel justified that it's okay for you to be angry with him because he deserves it. And if you can pull back enough to see what's actually going on and you witness that the man is in pain, that you love the man and that you don't have to be in that situation with him and take the stance you're taking, everything can shift. And, you know, it's like the veils lift and you actually can see what's really happening. And then your heart can come forward. And the tenderness that is there and the love that is there can just be present. And it can transform everything so quickly. So this is something, you know, we can certainly come back to another time, maybe next week, if it makes sense. But you are the Buddha, you know, you already are that. There's no question. Or you are the Christ. You know, pick an icon. It really doesn't matter. But you already are that. You are God in form, having an experience that has led you to believe that you're something other than that and that there is something you need to attain to. It's not the case. You already are it. It's just now a matter of allowing the rest to fall away, all the things that you have held on to for so long, and just being present, you know, and being open to what is. So tonight, I picked one of my absolute all-time favorite songs. People who know me know this song quite well. I use it as the last song that I play when we do our group meditations. It's Satya Sai Baba and singing the Gayatri Mantra. And we will sit in meditation with this one. Let's go back and maybe focus on that golden, gorgeous white gold sun in your solar plexus. And let's see if we can't focus that energy and keep pushing that out during this song. So thank you again for being with us tonight. It's always such an honor for me and such a privilege. I'm loving every minute of this and hope you are too. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Bharko devasya dhimahi Diyo yona prachodaya.